What if one ride in the car changed everything? What if, as she describes it, a 20-second car accident in your 40s alters your life path forever? Could you handle all the change thrust upon you? All the new healthcare appointments, all the new diagnoses, all the new, I'm sure, professional opinions, treatment and rehab? Could you handle all the personal setbacks, your career plan detours, or effects on you, your family, and your friends? Teresa Byrne is with me today, and because of those 20 seconds, her life changed in ways not only she never expected, but maybe could never have even predicted. So join us as we dive in a bit deeper to hear how she dealt with such a difficult event and how she is now bravely sharing her story. And although she continues teaching, one of her passions, and is teaching others today, her ability to influence and impact others now is huge. And she is helping millions of women engage and, I love the statement, unleash their own inner warrior. Welcome to Life Reimagined with Wendy. I believe those of us over 45 grew up at a unique time in our culture that helped us redefine what a 45 and 55 or 65 year old and true adventurer really looks like. We are carving out very different trails and our own purpose-driven life paths going forward. So join us for insights and interviews on how we survived life's detours and came out on the other side stronger and happier, and how you can reimagine your next. I love the statement, unleash their own inner warrior.
I love that too. I honestly think that every single one of us has a warrior within us.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you a little bit about my accident, but at one point I was so disassociated from my body and I looked down at my arm and the words, oh, her arm. I was like, what? Her arm? Like, you don't look at your own body and think
right.
External, like third party. And that's when I realized there was sort of something else running the show for me. So my higher self was helping me go to all these doctor's appointments and change my life and make sure that I got fed mostly and showered sometimes and sleep. But something else was kind of running me, her arm. I'll never forget that. And I really, the inner warrior piece is truly, when we talk about resilience, that is the part of ourselves that is programmed from the factory to be able to make us not just survive, but thrive. So we're always looking for the best food sources, although now the best food sources filled with fat and sugar and yep. high calorie laden foods are not, they're too plentiful. But back in the days when we came out of the factory earlier, those were good sources of food. So the inner warrior is really the part of me that I tapped into along with my higher self to get me through what was the most devastating time in my life.
Yeah. So, okay. So Teresa Byrne is a modern day revolutionist. I'm going to hit this play because I've taken this straight off your webpage here. All right. So Teresa is a modern day revolutionist in personal power. And I think as you've already experienced, she's a very low energy gal. Teresa's on a mission. She loves teaching, but is now teaching a more holistic approach to personal safety, power, and confidence. And she has her own trademark system and an intuitive methodology, say that five times fast, called In Power. And she teaches boundary setting techniques and she loves watching the aha moment when somebody really gets it and makes the connection and shifts their thinking or changes their life in a way. And one more thing to quickly say is that you are the award-winning author of 5 books and that you've trained millions of people through your innovative approach. So thanks, Teresa. I'm so excited to have you here today. And we haven't even told people what you've even come through. They only know there's a car accident so far. So
you want me to tell my story? It's now a good time?
Absolutely. Now's a perfect time. So yes.
I am pleased to tell it and I love it. And I want to start with, it's probably the most impactful. And I don't mean that like because I got hit and run into a brick wall.
Right.
But it has changed my life in a way that I can help many, many more people. I was a professional martial artist and self-defense instructor, and I was tooling along, running errands, and out of nowhere, some guy ran into my car. I lost control of the vehicle. I went into the other lane of traffic, hit this, not curb, but kind of a curb thing. And then a brick wall. So, you know, when you tell the universe, I don't want to get hit by a 2x4, or I was literally hit with a brick wall. So for me, I feel really blessed because I had a near-death experience as I was headed toward the wall. So I got pulled out of my body. I don't remember hitting the wall at all. I was in some other happy place, learning and soaking up knowledge and wisdom. And when I came back, it turns out that I ended up with the equivalent of about 6 concussions. Ooh. And typically a concussion would be like you hit on one side and then your brain sloshes to the other side. Well, I hit here and here and then here and here. And then I don't even know which way my head was facing when I hit the brick wall. So it's always one side and then the other side because your brain gets sloshy. Mm-hmm. So I came back and ended up with a traumatic brain injury. Like, who needs to get their noggin knocked around so that they have no clue who they are? And I make light of all of this because I gotta tell you, it is the only thing. Faith and lightheartedness are the two things that helped me carry through the crazy that I felt. It was an insane time.
I can't even imagine. So now this happened a little bit over 6 years ago.
2014.
Okay. And then talk about even, I mean, you just described kind of this out of body experience during it. What about the first few weeks or months? Because I can't even imagine mentally what you were having to deal with this new reality.
So I don't know if any of you watching or you yourself, Wendy, have been in a situation where you literally feel crazy. You know, but you don't know, or you can't see what you know, or one of my eyes started going sideways. I started stuttering. I would know, like I have a water thing here. I would know that my water thing was in front of me, but I couldn't see it. It was like having dementia and frontal lobe damage and issues with sensitivity. It was like having a bunch of different illnesses at the same time. I've worked with kids with autism for many years, and all of a sudden I felt autistic. Like sounds had feelings to them, and lights were too loud, and things that weren't soft were painful, and sunshine was too loud. It was a very odd feeling, but I'm very blessed because I had spent my career helping people kind of that were neurodiverse. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having to apply a lot of what I knew about neuroscience, learning, development, and cognitive behavioral therapy. I had to apply it to my own self.
Yeah. And, you know, I've interviewed others who have had life detours, either, you know, divorce or job change, but none as significant or as traumatic as what you've been through. And so, I mean, it's not something you recover from in like 2.4 weeks or 3.5 months. I mean, and thankfully neuroplasticity, our science is changing and such, you know, that we're learning so much more about the brain, but do you feel like you're still recovering and that's not even the right word, but do you feel like you're still rehabilitating and still learning from that experience?
And to answer your question, when I had my accident, neuroplasticity was sort of new. Neuroplasticity was about 5 or 6 years old. Up until that point, they thought brains became the brain that it was going to be and didn't change.
Yeah.
And even when I had my accident, the science was a little bit more limited. The healing, I was put into what's called low stimulus concussion protocol timeout. No music, no lights, no sound, no interaction, no computer for almost 2 years.
Oh my, yeah, that's very different than
what you... I was on lockdown, basically, as we have all experienced lockdown, but I didn't have any interaction. I wasn't supposed to have any stimulus into my brain because my brain was really, really struggling to heal. I ended up with depression, which was really hard. My heart goes out to anybody who's dealt with depression, anxiety, panic, PTSD, ADHD, a neuroendocrine disorder. I couldn't feel my skin. Which actually was kind of funny. I remember being in the shower and I'm like, why is my shower not hot? And I get out of the shower and I am red, like sunburned. I'm like, oh, maybe it was hotter than I realized. I did feel a little crazy, a little, yeah, all of us have these things that happen and take us out of our element or out of our comfort zone. I was in a whole nother hemisphere.
Yeah.
Not being able to use my words. It's funny, at one point I got beamed, and I will say, like, this image of me standing, and the doctors were not sure what was going to happen. They couldn't tell me if I would heal, when I would heal, how I would heal. So part of me was having to stay positive and use that, all my knowledge in, I know that a negative brain mindset will produce more cortisol and adrenaline. Right. I had to constantly learn how to shift. And I remember one image I got, like, kind of beamed from the universe, was me on a stage with a microphone talking about my experience and laughing at how ludicrous it was. And in that moment, I found a sense of peace, is one way of saying it, but okay, it's going to be all right. I don't know how, but eventually I'm going to talk about this. Eventually turned into almost 5 years for me to be able to do it. And I did a TEDx talk, on the inner bully, which was one of the pieces that showed up heavily for me during the accident. I had a bully in my head, that in my body, that I really struggled with.
And So expand on that, because I think that not only, first of all, coming through this at all personally is an amazing piece of your story, but then how you've translated it and turned it into a very different career path, but yet you're still engaging using some of the experiences that you had and the love for teaching. But like you said, you're reaching a much larger audience and community and bringing a lot more people into your world than you probably could have before this happened. So talk about how you decided, or how this organically shifted for you into something that becomes more of your passion going forward.
It feels like some of the lessons that came through for me while I was healing were just like, oh, they were so big. They were so important. Like, that I'm not special, but I'm unique. That each of us we're not special, but we're unique. We are unique as a snowflake, as a thumbprint. And we get to shine that. And prior to the accident, my mission and my goal was, I will inspire and motivate 1 million people, blah, 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 blah. Like, I had this huge goal. And now after the accident, I'll make a positive impact on one person today. Like, up in the other world or wherever I visited during my near-death experience, they can care less how many people. A soul is a soul. If I can make a positive impact on one person, that's all that matters. And the odd thing is, having that mindset, I think, has created this other way of me reaching out and finding other people. Me learning about depression, me having a suicidal voice in my head. And these are things other people have faced. It might have been for them their whole lives. For me, it was from one day to the next. Like, all of a sudden, I had ADHD, I had depression, I had suicidal thoughts, I had all of a sudden, like, it was all of a sudden, like, I was 80 years old.
Yeah, like a switch app, you know, flicked. Yeah. And because you've also had your pre-experience, you knew kind of, not normal, like, what's normal, right? What's normal? But you had a Teresa normal first before all these other pieces and changes occurred. So you could identify with just how serious and how significant it impacts others. So your story, you know, not only people can identify with what you're sharing, but because you've come through it, again, relying on your faith, your positive and your humor, you're modeling and inspiring others. So talk more about your program and again, how you see others get their aha moment and get rid of their inner bully or take it down.
So I think that as kids, we're all these wide open, wonderful beings that approach the world with curiosity and wonder, and then life happens and we start making up all of these things. And one thing that happened after my accident was I started having all these limiting beliefs come up to the surface that I didn't know I believed because they were so buried. but there was nowhere to bury them anymore because mm-hmm. my brain had changed that they just pop up and it'd be like, I believe that. I didn't even know I believe that. It's almost like those automated things that you believe about yourself or the world. And so for me, I didn't even have a self-perception. After the accident, I didn't perceive myself.
Like you didn't even have your own avatar of who you were. Right.
Oh, and then somebody told me, this is so funny. Somebody said, well, you know, you were the first woman to earn her master instructor ranking in your martial arts system. And I'm like, is that a big deal? Is that important? Is that? And they're like, yeah, the first woman ever. I'm like, oh, I guess that seems important.
Okay, cool.
Okay,
cool. Okay.
Oh, all right. So a lot of things that I help people do is like, it's get all the stuff out of the way, the sabotaging thoughts, the limiting beliefs, the stuff that isn't you. So there's like this you, and then there's the un-you. And then there's this sort of higher self that is your wisest, oldest friend that is connected between you and all living things. And one of the issues that I had was I only had 2D perception after the accident. So I could only see, like, everything looked very flat and I didn't know the distancing on things. But what I also saw was, like, I don't know, lights and energy, I guess, flickers, and I would see other things, but I didn't see in 3D. So my brain was perceiving things much differently. And I saw where people would, it was almost like if I taught somebody how to punch, I would teach them how to punch straight. That's powerful. And I would teach them how to rotate their body. But in my new head, I would see like where they angle their arm and they fix this and they punch like that. And it was almost all the places where people were out of their power.
Okay.
And then my mission became to help them access that innate, inherent, ever living, ever existing, infinite essence within. And that's really where true power comes from. Anytime we put our power outside, when I get this job, I'll be happy. If I have this relationship, then I'll be good. If I lose this weight, then I'll be fantastic. Anytime we do that, we're putting our happiness and our power outside of ourselves.
Yep. Locus of control. I'm a firm believer. Absolutely.
And that doesn't work. So my mission has really been teaching people, both from what I learned in being a master instructor of martial arts and in self-defense, and also taking it forward using the brain injury and healing my brain to where I still have executive functioning issues, which, like, don't ask me steps for things. And I'm not good at like what comes first and then comes next. If I go to clean my garage is just one thing, garage. And it's all overwhelming. I need help with the system of like strategy and steps. That is not something that I'm awesome at.
Yeah, so. But I think you're also, without overtly stating it, you're tapping on another key piece of your journey, which is the acceptance that some things have changed. Like you said, clean the garage is just one thing, garage, right? And having patience, recognizing that, knowing thyself, huge again in your journey in being able to then thrive, not only survive what you had to go through, but really thrive. So accepting some of these changes and knowing then how to work. I always say, I love when I find I've outsmarted myself because like I hide things from myself, but then I find it in places. Well, I would have looked there first. This is great. Right. So it's accepting some of these changes that we didn't think, or that challenges who we think our norm or what we're supposed to be is right. Really good.
And I think that, so what I know, and I teach about cortisol and I teach about adrenaline.
Okay.
And the inner bully is really about the reaction that we have to our own thinking and our own selves. And we can create fight, flight, or freeze in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And it isn't necessarily an external thing. Something isn't making me in danger. I just might feel in danger. And this has become really apparent during the pandemic. People are feeling uncertain and that creates fight, flight, or freeze. People are feeling worried, anxious, fearful, and that's creating that same response. Well, in my experience, I had PTSD a couple times a night. I would wake up in the middle of the night thinking someone was coming to kill me. And I had to create my own EMDR, breathing through it. But what I also know is that our bodies thrive on love and support and acceptance. So the more that I can accept, the more my cells grow, the more that I am healing, the more that I can allow for myself, the greater I am, the more that I become rigid or demanding or criticizing of myself or anyone else, the smaller I get, and the longer it takes for me to heal. And really that's the case for anyone. A cell does better in a certain environment. Our bodies are made of cells, and we do better in what you just said, acceptance, taking back the control, the locus of control, loci of control. Where you put that is in here. And to me, it's about mindfulness and consciousness and also resilience. And I love that you have to use the word silly to spell resilience. R-E-S-I-L-I-E-N-C-E. Silly. So when I forget to how to spell resilience, silly is in there.
No, I like that. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. That's good. I like it. But I think humor is critical too. And I think it's one of the questions I have for you. And I don't know, you're also different guest than I've had in my podcast before. Looking at, could yourself in your 20s embrace some of these concepts and live with them as peacefully and as optimistically now as you know, could you have envisioned this at 20 or 25? No. Because I know I couldn't have at all.
No, I would have thought my life was over. I would have probably played more of a victim. Mm-hmm. I would have enjoyed the blame game. Mm-hmm. As it is, the way that my brain injury happened, I lost emotional, I have emotional amnesia. So anything that's happened in my life, both positive and negative, I don't remember the emotions around it. So, which is kind of freeing, right? Well, but in my 20s, so in my,
I don't think of freeing right off the bat. As soon as you mentioned that, I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing. So, but
it wasn't. I've never read about it. I had it. So I was sciencing the stuffing out of my brain injury. I was writing notes. Yeah. Emotional amnesia isn't an actual thing. It is a word that I put together to describe what was happening. I don't remember emotions. I don't remember feelings of a certain thing. Wow. Even if I was mad at somebody, I'd be like, I don't remember why.
Yeah.
Wow. This is how I felt.
Wow. I mean, but again, all these pieces that are just unexpected, but that you've been able to come through. So what if someone's listening today? So I am going to, and I'm going to come back to it in a minute because we're not done yet, but if someone wants to connect with you, I know we'll have links to your information on our website, but they can find you at teresa-byrne.com, right?
It's just Teresa Byrne. There's no dash.
Okay. No dash. Thank you. Okay. And I'll scroll that also on the video version of this.
Thank you.
Yeah. And in addition to InPower, you've also got, you can come and present again on your inner bully and boundaries and all the, again, all the tools you've used to really heal and get to a new place that you never saw coming.
Okay. Yes, so, all that.
And all that. Okay. So now I'm going to take you back again when we were younger, because I think one thing I've learned, again, being over the 50 something year old line, just barely, is that I think we grew up in a unique time in our culture where, because television and MTV and things in the 80s really started to come out, we're carving paths and changing what over 40 and over 50 ever looked like. You know, as a kid, my grandparents, when they were 55, my grandmother was going to the beauty parlor and, you know, playing cards, and they weren't forging the types of lives that we're creating right now. So when you look back, what's either a television show or something, movie, something culturally related from the 80s that you identify with that was either one of your favorites or something that made you go, hmm?
I personally love the line from Caddyshack, and on my deathbed, I will receive total consciousness. Yes. I said, hey, Llama, how about a little something for the effort? There will be no tip. Yes. But on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness.
Yes. So the fact, I love Caddyshack and Bill Murray, so perfect. Just absolutely perfect.
And I also want to say one of the ways I made it through my accident. So I was told I'd never teach martial arts again. And I still don't teach martial arts. I do teach self-defense, and I teach boxing, kickboxing. But I had this moment I like to call the Princess Bride effect.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And there is a point in the movie where Wesley says, what do we have among our assets? He'd been mostly dead all day. And Vinigo or whatever is like, we have this cloak and we have a wheelbarrow. And that was what I felt like after my accident. Being told I was never going to do. I mean, I owned a martial arts and fitness studio for over 20 years. Right. This has been my career. This has been my business. And being told... Yeah, and basically being told it's over, I was like, what do I still have among my assets? I'm funny. I see the humor in all of this. I'm getting downloads of wisdom and pieces of insight and ways of teaching it that are much more real world. I can use that. I can still speak. I can still engage an audience. All of that was still a gift that I had. So it was definitely the Princess Bride effect.
Well, and I love Princess Bride, and I think I know a lot of quotes from that. But, I mean, now that you've mentioned the wheelbarrow and the cape, now I understand where it is in the movie, but I don't remember that part. I thought you were going to say inconceivable. I don't think that word means what you think it means, you know?
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Right. Inconceivable. Yes. So now I got to watch for that quote because I don't remember. What's among
us? It's right after he's been mostly dead all day.
Yes.
And they pull him up to the bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, after Billy Crystal saved him with Tu Blave instead of True Love.
Yes.
Yes. Awesome. Well, okay, for those who are listening, first of all, thank you, Teresa, for sharing your story. I'm also going to tell others that you are joining me and eight other fabulous women who brought our stories of resilience together. And so this is coming out. Now we have a release date. So October 1st, it's coming out. We even have a title for it. It's going from Life Unexpected to Life Inspired. And you can read more about Teresa's story there. And I really encourage you to follow up and check out her website and learn more about how you can either take her, you know, get involved more with her program with Empower. Like I said, she's very low energy. And so if you can ever bring her to a corporate speaking event or bring her closer into your circle, I highly recommend it because her positivity is infectious. So thanks, Teresa. I really appreciate you being here. And I hope folks check your information out. And I hope they go back to destinationyou.com for some free resources. And I hope they come back and hear more about your story.
Thank you. And I want to acknowledge you too, Wendy. It's an uncommon woman who will find a group of inspiring other women, not based on the norm. It's not based on your level of success. It's not based on how much money you earn. And there's nothing wrong with either of those two things. But you took a bunch of heart-centered women inspirers and you put them together in this collaborative effort. And I really, truly want to thank you for that. That is huge. And I'm honored to be a part of it.
Well, I'm just thrilled with the outcome. I was, you know, the timing of it worked out really nicely. I really hope others learn from it as well. Because like you said, there's a lot of people who need some inspiration right now. So.
And check out the TEDx talk on the Inner Bully. Look up Inner Bully on TEDx and you'll find my talk. It's a little bit funny and a little bit rock and roll.
Which is just exactly what you shared with us today. So thanks, Teresa. Thanks everybody. And we'll come back and talk with you soon. Thanks.